Rob, why are you showing us the Framley plan from Sprint commercial? Well, do you have any ideas? Any guesses? No? No, get what? What do you think? I'm going to give you a chocolate for that. Yes. Because our new series, what do you think? You had your hand up, Ethan. Yes, you did. A good reading. You get a chocolate for being a good reader. Yeah, that's the name of our new series. All right. We're calling it the Framley Plan. Have you guys seen? Well, now you've seen the commercial in case you hadn't. And yeah, what do you have to say? Hi. Our Father. Okay, you get it just for being funny. I like that. Awesome. What was the last thing that we studied? Because tonight we're starting the Framley Plan, and we're going to talk about relationships, how to connect to God and how to connect to other people. Yes, sir. Jonah. Chocolate. All right. So what was something we learned about Jonah? Wait, I think you answered right. So you get a chocolate right there. How about you? Runaway prophet. What else? I see lots of hands back there. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did. He got a lot of second chances. Samaya? Tried to run away from God's presence. Tried to hide from him. He wanted to go to Nineveh. Oh, he didn't want to go to Nineveh, yeah. Where do you want to go? Do you know? All right, you'll get two for that. Oh, good catch. Oh, he dropped one. That's okay. One was still good. Yeah, he liked this crazy plant more than he did the people. He was. He was like dying, about to drown, and God saves him by what? How? Owen. Good. Yeah. Got swallowed by a whale and vomited out on a beach. All right, I only have a few more, so what else can you tell me about Jonah? Yeah. That's right. And did God actually destroy Nineveh? Yeah, they all repented, right? And they loved God. Yeah. He did. He turned, he repented, he eventually did it. At the very end, how's Jonah's heart? At the very, very end of the story that we looked at last week, how was his heart? Do you know? No. Ethan? He was thankful that God saved him. At the very end? Bro, you're a preacher, man. Yes, you want to come preach a sermon tonight, dude? You're awesome. This is great. All of that's true. I'm going to give you two for all that because it was a lot of really good content. And you are my last chocolate receiver here tonight. Did you have something else about Jonah you can add? All right, because he said so much, I'm going to give you one just because I knew you were going to say it. All right, cool. Awesome. So we're leaving Jonah. The big deal with Jonah was that he had a heart issue. That's what I was getting at the end. He had a major heart issue where he needed to learn how to love God well in a real way. But more than that, he needed to learn how to love people in an even more real way. And so what we're doing is we're kind of jumping from Jonah and learning a lesson from him, how Jonah needs to learn how to love people. So guess what we're going to study next? How to love people. And people are all around us every single day. There's people sitting next to you in chairs. People just got chocolate and you didn't, and you're sad and you're crying, but maybe next time you'll get some. All right? Your family's people that you should be loving. Your friends are people that need to be loved. All right? And as you look around, your teachers even are people that need to be loved. You're like, no, not my teacher. Yes, even your teacher. All right? So let's start our series tonight, our new series called The Framley Plan. But this is how we're going to start it. I got a quiz for you. There may be some chocolate involved. No, there won't be. So, but let's pretend there is, though. Okay, here's our quiz. This is kind of a deep quiz, all right? So I want you to think about it for real for a second because we're switching into serious mode. I know that's hard to do. But I want you to actually take this quiz and really think. Like deep down in your heart, take a minute to calm yourself down, get serious, and really think about this question. Are you ready? Whose expectations are you trying to meet? Now you're like, that's a big word, Rob, expectation. What does that even mean? Does anybody know what expectation means? Yeah, that's part of it. Who are you trying to... I'll stop. Yeah, like please people. Who are you trying to please by the things that you do? When you do a certain thing, are you trying to impress somebody by doing that? Who are you looking to make proud of you? That type of idea. And so as you think about the next four answers here, which one would you be able to answer? Do you try to please someone you're dating, your boyfriend or girlfriend? Do you live to like, you guys are a little young, I hope you're not dating yet, but whatever. If you are, then that's a good question. Or the person that you'd like to date in the future that you're like, get the little butterflies in your belly and you're like trying to impress them all the time. You know, some of you are giggling, look at you. You know who you like. B says the society, like society, people around you, your friends, people who are popular. Are you trying to like always look at the TV and look at celebrities and see what's on TV and music people and like athletes and be like, I want to be just like them. The way I dress, the way I talk, the things that I do, the places I go so that I can be like society. Are you trying to impress society? How about like popular people, like the cool people at school, the people that in class, like maybe you're doing stuff in class to like make sure the cool people see you or on the sports field so you can fit in well. Are you trying to impress them? Or finally, hopefully it's D, that you're trying to live for God. You're trying to impress God more than anybody else. Now listen, you're like, might be one of the people that say, hey, I'm not D. I'm like either A, B, or C, Rob. Well, a lot of us are. A lot of us end up being A, B, or C, and I'm included in that group. So there's a big group of us that don't always live to impress God. We don't always live to meet up to God's expectations, and we're always looking to try to please other people around us. So what we're going to do is we're going to look into this because probably a lot of us in this room fit into either A, B, or C, and we need to look into this and figure out how can we do a little bit better job relating to our God who loves us and relating in a healthy way to the people around us, our family, our friends, and people that God loves a whole lot. So I remember when I was in first grade, that's back when I used to throw up all the time. You guys remember when I like go to class and I'd be so nervous, like I can't go to class, and I throw up in the garden. Back in those days, that same teacher, that same class, I went this one day after about half, it took me almost a half a year to get over that, and once in a while I still threw it up, but I was in class one day, and we're in reading circle. We did this thing where we learned how to read. We sit in a little circle, and everybody sit around with our book, and we had reading circle, and we had these weird little blue, like, plastic chairs. I remember the chairs, and I was a little chunky kid. I barely fit in my chair, you know, I was sitting there, and we're in reading circle, and there was this one little girl who had to read. She was so shy. She didn't have a whole lot of friends in our class, and we're all going around our circle, taking turns, doing our best. We all read and we feel good. We're like, yeah, I did a good job. Everybody knows I did. All of a sudden, it gets her turn. And we're all waiting. And it's quiet. And we're like, are you going to read, girl, or what? Like, we're all looking over and she's just sitting there. She's still not reading. It's like that awkward silence, like kind of like right now. And we're like, what? Like, what's going on? Like, why is she not reading? And so we all start looking at her, and her face just starts to get, like, red. Like, purple red. And we're like, what is her problem? And then all of a sudden we notice she peed. Whoa, wow, that was loud. She peed her pants right there while she was, like, in reading circle. And we're all in this circle, so everybody's looking at everybody. And so when we notice, the first person who notices, his name was Jermaine Ivory. He was my best friend at the time, just this little dude, but he was a loud dude. He noticed and he jumps up and he points with both fingers and he goes, "You peed your pants!" Everybody decided we were going to start doing the same thing. So we all get up and we're all like, "You peed your pants!" And this poor little girl's face just turned bright red and she started bawling. Like her eyes were just, oh man. And so she's sitting there crying and we're laughing and we're thinking this is just funny, you know, because she peed her pants. How is that not funny? She didn't think it was very funny. And actually, it was really, really sad because the more we watched her, she didn't stop crying. She got like sadder and sadder and louder and louder and just wanted to run out the room, but she couldn't because she knew everyone would see her wet pants. So she just sat there and didn't know what to do. And for a minute, while everybody's kind of like laughing and she's crying, I remember just sitting there. And all of a sudden, I remember my heart sunk just for a second because I realized how sad this girl was. And here we are pointing at her and laughing. And she's just sitting there like, I have no idea what to do. And then she said the next thing. I remember it was like one of those crazy, you know, those cries where you're like, like one of those where you're just like breathing hiccup type weird thing. And something just squeaks out and she's like, I have no friends. And when I heard that, I was just like, but like, we're all your friends. Like, in my mind, like we like you. You're, like, in our circle. You're one of us. We're just playing with you. But for her, it didn't feel like that. For her, it was like the end of the world. And in her head, in her heart, she's like, none of you love me. None of you care about me. I have no friends. And as I sit here and you point and laugh and scream, you peed your pants, I feel like I'm all alone. And you see, we might not have peed our pants in front of a lot of people, but you guys might have some sort of story that if I gave you the microphone and let you come up here, you could share a story like that where you just felt absolutely like broken by people. Or maybe they embarrassed you really bad, or you felt like you had no friends, like she said. And here's why we feel that way. God created us to be in relationships, either with each other or with Him. And so as we're designed to be in these awesome relationships that are used by Him to make us all this big family, sometimes we don't act like it. You know, sometimes we can be really mean. Sometimes we can feel alone or make other people feel alone by the way we interact. And so I'm hoping that as we go through this series over the next few weeks, that we're able to start to look at the way we treat each other. Not because we're trying to change our behavior, just that, but because we have a really big reason to love each other, to love our God and to love one another. And so will you look with me? We're going to start off in Matthew chapter 22. And that's where we're going to start tonight. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. This is what Jesus teaches us about relationships. It says this, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Now, as he says right away, this guy's like, "Hey, Jesus, we have a lot of laws. We have a whole bunch of them. We've talked about it in here, how they had a ton of different laws. And they're trying to follow them all and try to like write them all down and make sure they didn't break any. And it was like this crazy amount of things they were trying to keep in their mind and do the right thing." And he's like, "So which one's the best of all these things?" You know what Jesus answers him? I could sum it up in two phrases for you. All those laws. The first one, he says, is love your God. You know that God wants you to love Him? And sometimes we talk about how much God loves us a whole lot, but we forget the other side, that God wants you to love Him. You see, He wants to be in this thing called a relationship. And if you're in a relationship where you just talk to somebody, let's say there's two people sitting in these chairs, and they're looking at each other, and this one's doing all the talking, and that one's just sitting there with their eyes closed, how's that conversation going to go? Kind of boring, right? Because it's just Samaya going, "So I had a good day today. How about you?" Did you have a good lunch? Like, that'd be boring. That's not a relationship. That's not a conversation. There's nothing happening. But when both people engage, all of a sudden it's this really cool thing where you all of a sudden you have a best friend. All of a sudden you have a really cool group of friends that hang out, that love each other. You have cool things happen in your life because we're designed to be together. And so as we interact with God, sometimes we don't do that. We just say, "Hey, God, you're going to listen to everything I say," and that's cool, that's it. But do you take time to listen to God? Do you take time to say, "God, I love you"? Do you take time to invest in a relationship with God and not just this weird thing where you're like, "Here's my Christmas list of prayer requests. Take this and see if you can do something about it and call me if you do something." You know, like, that's not it. God's like, "I want you to be my friend. I want you to be in a relationship with me where we love each other and talk and hear each other and we engage in our lives together." And so we're told here by Jesus, the greatest thing you can possibly do is love your God. But he doesn't just say love God. It's not just one of those things where you pray and you're like, "God, I love you so much, I'm going to sing you a song. Oh, I love you, Jesus." And then you're like done and then you go home. It's this thing where he says, "Let me tell you three ways how I want you to love me." All right, well, here's the first one. With all your heart. Hold on. My whole heart? Like, how do you love someone or something with all your heart? Give me some feedback. If I loved something with all my heart, what are some things that I might do if I loved it with all my heart? Any thoughts? Everything. There's nothing I wouldn't do for that, right? Because I love it, yeah. It's the only thing I want to be around. Buy chocolate? I'm going to buy God some chocolate. I don't know. I don't know if that would work. I was going to throw it in the air, but that'd be weird, so I'm not going to do it. Yes, but something like that. You have like emotions toward it. What else? Any other thoughts? Yeah, you praise it. You love it. And you're going to go ahead. I'll let you go. Oh, you're jumping ahead. I love it. This is good. You die for them. You'd be willing to sacrifice and give anything and everything for the one you love. Wait a minute. Sounds like someone already did that. I think I've heard a story of someone who's already given his life for us because he loves us so much. And just like you just said, God's proven that to us. He's shown us his love so that we can respond and say, you know what, because you loved me first and you gave everything for me, including your life, I'm able to now love you back. And so he says, love him with all of your heart. And then he says this. He doesn't just stop there, because that sounds like a lot, right? If you love something with all your heart, we just said that's everything. What about this one? With all your soul. Wait a minute, so now it's all my heart and all my soul. What might that look like if I love something with all my heart and all my soul? You guys have any thoughts on that one? Tricky, huh? Because we already like went to the whole extreme of like, if you love them with all your heart, that's like the whole deal. But now you're going to one up it even more. Like the next level, all my soul too. You know that your soul is your life. Your very life. The life that God gave you. So I'm not just going to love them with all my heart. My desires and my passions and everything is for you, God. Everything I want and desire is you. But beyond that, he's going to say, with your entire life. With your soul. Be willing to say, take my whole life, Jesus, because I love you that much that even with my entire soul. And then he says this, because like two wasn't enough, right? He goes, and here's the last one, with all your mind. Uh-oh. Because like sometimes I feel like I can love Jesus but still not have my mind in the right place. I don't know if you guys have felt like that. Like, I love God. I go to church. I read my Bible. I do worship. I pray. But sometimes my mind still goes places that are not loving to Jesus. Like, sometimes I need to get my mind in check. Someone just gets me so mad, and in my mind, I'm just, oh, I just want to, you know what I'm talking about? Somebody knows too well. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, I just did it this morning. Yeah. I did that at school this afternoon. Like, our minds can float off, and what he's saying is the entire being that you have that I've given you, all of it, every last detail, every last molecule, your entire life, that's what you should be loving God with. He didn't leave anything out. My heart, my soul, and my mind, the whole deal. There's not one speck of you that he hasn't asked for you to love him with. That's huge. He's like, I'm going to cover all the bases and I'm going to give you all three of these and leave nothing left. That's how we're called to love God. And you're like, whoa, but that sounds so huge. How am I going to ever get to the point where I can do that? And here's the cool part. What you said back here when you jumped ahead. Jesus has done that for us. Jesus has made it possible for us to be able to love, not with our love, because if you try to do it yourself, you can't. But now we can love with the love of Jesus. Because it says that we love because he first loved us. He's given us his Holy Spirit to be able to love him with the love of God that is capable of loving that much. All right, so he says, love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, then he says this, and the second is like it. There's another command because they're going to wrap up all of these crazy commands into two things. The first one is love God, and the second one is love your neighbor. And this one is almost as important as loving God, right? No, it's just as important. It's second in that we should love God the most, but it's just as important that we're loving people too. You know why? Because God loves people. And because the love of God is in you, and if God loves people, guess what you should be doing? Loving people. And so he says, love your neighbor. Look at how. As yourself. Wait a minute. Did you go to your neighbor's house this morning and brush their teeth for them? Did you comb their hair? Did you get them ready? Make a breakfast? The whole deal? You guys didn't do that? You're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. You did it for yourself, didn't you? Hopefully. Some of you guys didn't brush your teeth, man. I know you didn't, but you know what I'm saying? What does that mean then, that I love them as myself? Any thoughts on that? Ethan? Yeah, treat them the way you want to be treated. What's that called? Anybody know the name of that? Golden rule. Good. Anything else? How about this? Yeah, no, you go. Care for them? Absolutely. How about love them even more? Putting them in front of you. Saying, hey, I'm gonna be selfless, not selfish. I'm going to let you be first in my life. I'm going to put other people before me to make sure I look out for them and serve them instead of being selfish, which is really easy to do. God says, hey, why don't you put other people first? We see that in Philippians 2. It talks about Jesus became a servant. He became selfless for other people. We should be loving people that way, to where we're willing to sacrifice for them. And so as we talk about relationships, this is what I want you to know. At the very end of this, it says, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. You know what the whole entire Bible is about? Relationships. You're like, wait, what? Yeah. Your relationship with Jesus and your relationship with other people. All the laws were made up to teach us how to interact with God and how to interact with each other. So Jesus could say, I can sum that whole thing up by telling you two things. Love God and love people. It's about relationships. And if you love God the way we're talking about here with the whole deal, you don't even have to worry about the laws, because you're not just going to follow them. You're going to do even better than the law. And if you love people that way, oh my goodness, how you're going to treat people. And so as we talk about relationships, here's the first thing we need to know before we can go on and talk about friendship and how we treat our family and how we date people and how to do, you know, that we need to love God first. That all of it builds on our relationship with God. And as we build that and grow in that, our relationship with our family changes and grows. Our relationships with our friends grows. And then we're able to date people and one day get married and have families, all because we are strong in our relationship with God. And so the foundation is keep the first thing first. God should be first. All right, Billy Graham. Anybody know who Billy Graham is? Any ideas? Old guy. Anyone know? Some of you guys are like, I halfway know. I'm going to halfway put up my hand. Yeah. He's a preacher. Yeah. He's a really good preacher. God has blessed him and used him in a lot of awesome ways. Billy Graham says this: one with God is a majority. If it's just you and God against as many other people or things out there, you're still the majority. Why? Yeah, God's bigger than everything. So you can have as many people as you want come up against you, and if you're standing with God, you're always going to be the majority. So as we talk about relationships, some of you guys tonight are like, but Rob, look, I don't have many friends. Like, that's my deal. I feel like that girl you talked about earlier. And I feel like I don't have friends, or I don't have the friends I want to have, or as many as I'd like. And you don't know what my family's like, Rob. You have no idea what it's like in my house. Let me tell you that the most important thing is that God be on your side. That you know and have a relationship with God. You will always be the majority. Someone else said this. Hannah Whittle Smith, okay? You don't need to know who she is. That's cool. But she said something awesome. She said, when all else is gone, God is left and nothing changes him. Your God's bigger than anything and everything. And if all your relationships start in him, then you got it. Because he's the answer to it all. We're going to look at another passage, because some of you guys are like, well, you got some more questions. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 33. She's a crazy looking lady. Did I say that out loud? Yeah, sorry. It's just because it's like really, really old. It's like a long time ago. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 33. It says this: therefore, don't be anxious. It's like worried, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all too. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. You know what it's saying here? There's some people that worry. Any of you guys worry ever? I already admitted to you that I used to worry, and I still do, but I worried a lot when I was a kid and I threw up just going to school every day. Well, I was a worrier. This passage is on worrying. And it says you don't have to worry. And some of you guys are like, but I don't have a lot of friends. I'm scared to go to school because then I don't like have people to hang out with. And then like I'm just going to be there alone at the lunch table or sitting in my class. And or so-and-so talks about me all the time. What are they going to say this afternoon? Like they're going to spread rumors about me in school or lie or be mean to me. And you're worried about relationships. And what Jesus says here, or what's taught here, is that we worry about things, but a lot of them are really physical things. It says, don't worry about what we eat or what we drink or what we wear. Like the things that you need every single day, right? We all need to have clothes, stay warm. We all need to eat because we'll die without food. We need a drink because then we'll dehydrate and die. You know, like, we need stuff. And those are the basics of life. So don't worry, because God knows everything you need, even the most basic things. He's got it. He's taking care of it. And sometimes you're like, well, it doesn't feel like that because look at my life. And I'm like that little girl, Rob, and like my heart hurts. You know that God knows that? And it says that even the most basic things he knows about and he cares about, how much more if he takes care of birds and flowers and frogs and deer and everything else, how much more is he going to care for you and love you? Sometimes we're like, well, God, do you really care? And he says, I absolutely do. And this is what I want you to do with your life. Before you start to worry about whatever it is, I want you to do something. Verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these other things will be added to you. Before you start to worry, before you start to think about, well, what about my relationships and my friends and who will I marry one day and all these crazy questions coming in my life? What? God's like, calm down. I have it under control. Trust me first. Learn to love me first so that I can help you develop healthy relationships with the people around you. Get to know me. Grow in me. And then these things will be added to you. Some of you guys are like, man, but I'm that guy who, like, I'll act up in class and I'll be the rebel or like the class clown and make my teacher really mad so that the other guys think I'm cool in class and they want to follow me. Or I'm the bully in school so that people don't mess with me and the guys think I'm tough. Or I'm that girl that flirts a lot or does whatever and says what anything and gossips so that some dude will think I'm like pretty and want to hang out with me. Or I'm whatever. Like we do crazy stuff. We're humans. And he's saying, wait a minute. Seek me first. Don't take shortcuts to try to get people to like you and build relationships that aren't going to last. If someone likes you because you're a bully, they're probably just scared of you. They're not your friend. If someone likes you because you're a class clown, it's not going to last very long. If you're hanging out with people and you feel like you have to talk and tell dirty jokes and use curse words or go certain places with people to impress them, those aren't the friends you want anyway. And what God's saying is, don't take shortcuts. Love me first. Seek my righteousness first. And then all these things will be added to you. I'll develop some strong, healthy relationships for you in your life. And then we jump over and we end with this. 1 John, I want you to see this as we close about relationships and God's place in them. 1 John chapter 4, two verses, verses 12 and 13, says this. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. He starts off with something that I think of sometimes. He says, no one has ever seen God. And as you're sitting here and I'm talking to you about, hey, love God, build a relationship with God, get close to God, chill with God, you're like, Rob, I don't see him. I don't hear him. I can't like hug him. Like when I'm sad, he doesn't come up and put his arms around me and hug me. Like, where is this God you keep talking about? How is this God supposed to be there for me when I need him and my heart's broken? How can I build a friendship with a God I can't see? And John actually says the exact same thing you might be thinking right now. He's like, no one's ever seen God. He might seem far away. He might seem distant. But look closer. Look what he says next. If we love one another, we don't just see God. God, it says, abides in us. You do way more than just see God. You see, sometimes we're like, well, I like to hang out with people more than God because I can see people, you know? Okay, that makes sense, right? Like, I can get a hug when I need a hug. I hang out with my friends. We talk and we hear each other's voices. And it's like, it's easier. And I feel close. I could never be that close with God because where is he? Like, what John says here is that as you love and experience the love of God, you don't just see him. You don't just hear him. You don't just feel him put his arms around you. He's way more intimate with you than that. He's more intimate with you than any human could ever be by seeing you and hearing you. It says he literally goes inside and lives in you, and he communes with your spirit. The most intimate relationship you could possibly ever have. So you don't just have to hear or see. You're literally united with God at your most intimate part. A God who has created everything that exists. A God who loves you more than anything, who's all powerful, and he's on your side, is now intimately connected with you in your spirit. There's nothing better than that. There's nothing more personal than that. And it says that his love is perfected in us as we grow in him, as we love other people. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us. See, as this awesome God intimately connects with us and we grow in our relationship with him, he allows you to love other people. And by you loving those people, guess what God's doing? Loving them through you. It's evidence that it's God's love as you sacrificially love other people and put them first. Because guess what? Rob doesn't want to sacrifice for people, just me by myself. I wouldn't want to. I'd want to look out for me. But the love of God allows me to love in a different way that says I care more about you than myself. That's evidence that God is in me, that I'm growing in a relationship with him, and that he's loving you through me. And look at the very last part of that verse. It says, because he has given us of his spirit. You're like, well, how do I know then that I have this relationship with God? Because he takes his spirit. You know that his spirit is a seal. The Holy Spirit is God. He's just one of the Godhead. He literally comes and lives in you and he seals you. It's a promise to say, I know that we have a relationship and I'm going to seal you so you always know how intimate and connected we are, that you're mine and he lives within you and seals you, as a promise to say, it doesn't get any better than this. It doesn't get any more intimate than this. And now that you have the Holy Spirit as you're with God, he's like the glue. Like, you can't have a relationship and get things to stick together, let's say, without glue, you know? You try to take two pieces of paper and do this, like, they're just going to fall apart. You put some glue on there, what happens? Boom, they stick, right? Makes sense. The Holy Spirit's the glue. The glue in every single relationship. Your relationship with God, the Holy Spirit has to be there for you to be able to have a relationship with God. And the same thing with us. To have a true, healthy relationship with each other, we've got to have the Holy Spirit as our glue to pull us together. So as we look at the rest of these over the next few weeks, and we start to talk next week about our family and then our friends after that and dating after that, remember this. It has to start with God. More than any other relationship, depend on him and grow in your relationship with God, and he'll take care of the rest. All right? I want to read you one last verse to close. It says this, Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. I want to challenge you this tonight. Let God mold you. Let God take you like a piece of clay and grow you as you are in a relationship with him, and he makes you his child. All right? Will you pray with me as we close? Father, we love you, and we thank you that you love us. We thank you that we're able to love because of what you've done in our hearts. Because Jesus died for us. He's forgiven our sin. God, you love us so much. Thank you. And I pray, Lord, that you would just grow us. Let your Holy Spirit be in us to be the glue to grow our relationships. And first and foremost, our relationship with you. We love you, Christ. We praise you tonight because you're good. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.